the signals up here, and then we put extra stimuli to look to see what the response is. So, for example, if the AV node is here, the SA node is here, the ventricle is here, let's say we have points everywhere here with points around the left atrium, and I put a stimulus here, right? So I cause this area to be stimulated, the bottom of, let's say, the right ventricle. Then I'm going to look to see how the electrical activity spreads from this spot. So if it spreads, for example, this way, and the AV node is activated first, then I know that conduction is coming through the AV node area. If it comes through here, then I know the conduction is coming through some alternate pathway. So if it's going through here, we call it concentric activation, which is through the AV node normal conduction pattern. If it goes through, let's say, very lateral in the left atrium, then I know that it can't be the AV node, right? So we have little detectors everywhere around here, and this turns out to be the coronary sinus. We also can put catheters. We typically don't at the beginning, but we also can put little catheters here in case we suspect that something is going through the right sinus. So there are, let's say, right mid pathways, right lateral pathways. So if we look at V to A conduction and we see that it's not normally conducting and it's not coming through here, then we can put another catheter here. Most likely, again, this is hopefully going to be just normal AV nodal conduction, retrograde. So we put stimuli here, and then we look at the activation pattern. We also look at how the electric impulse conducts via timing. So if there's a VA here, V stimulus, A response here. Normal activation through the AV node is going to be decremental. The harder you hit the AV node, the more it slows down. and that's a protection mechanism like we discussed before, where you don't want somebody to go into AFib and conduct one-to-one down to the ventricle. So basically, the only tissue in the heart that conducts that way is the AV node. The harder you hit it, the less it responds, both antegrade and retrograde. So if we hit it harder, you see what's happening to the VA interval. It's prolonging until it eventually blocks, where you get a V and no atrial response. And that's called VA block. So if you see this, then it's most likely, and even if you don't see what the activation pattern is, if you see this sort of response, then you know that it's most likely AV nodal conduction. Then you have two things. You have that it's conducting through here and that it's decremental. So it's concentric and decremental. So that goes along with the person having AV nodal reentry at the party. So that's point number one. Ventricular piece. Then we're going to do. I hope Mont shows up today because I have enough, like in this case. Then we're going to do pacing through the atrium. So we pace here and then we see the response. So the first thing is ventricular pacing, then we're going to do atrial pacing. So we're going to pace here and again look to see how the activation pattern goes. Is it going through the AV node, number one? Number two, is it decrementing? So now, instead of giving a ventricular pulse, we're going to give an atrial pulse, and then measure the time that it goes to the ventricle. And if it's decrements, and again, I know that it's most likely conducted through the AV node, not through an alternate Kent bundle or something. In the antegrade direction, we also see his bundle. And we can tell, you know, whether the AH is decrementing or HV is decrementing, and that gets to be complicated, but usually it's the AH that decrements. So the AH interval, it's not the HV, it's not the his per kgs at the time, it's this time in the AV node that's decrementing, right? Normally. There are conditions where it's different, but for our purposes, she's a young lady, it's going to be the AV nodal time that decrements. At some point, if it's AV node reentry tachycardia, again, that's what we're suspecting, then there's going to be continued decrement of the AH, and then it's going to jump. It's going to increase by a large amount, and that is a measure of fast pathway block and slow pathway activation. At that point, typically, what you get is you get a retrograde atrial beat that's coming from the fast pathway going retrograde. So AH block means the fast way pathway blocked antegrade, and then immediately after you'll see that the fast pathway is conducting retrograde, and that usually sets off the patient's tachycardia. So you get AV, let's say this is really long, and then another A. So basically you'll see A, V, then a simultaneous A, and again V, A, but now you'll see A, V, A, A, V, A, and this will be the tachycardia. So instead of this, let's say going at whatever she's going at now, 60 beats a minute or so, so that's 1,000 milliseconds, right? Presumably, when she goes into the tachycardia, it'll be a lot faster. So instead of 1,000 milliseconds, she'll go at, 60,000 divided by 250? 30.
800?
Just say to your Siri, what's
60,000
divided by 250.
It's 240.
Right. So that's,
it's almost
it. So it's 240. Right? So the cycle length here is going to be much quicker than what you're seeing there. You're going to see, right? And a cycle length of 240, which means a heart rate of 250. We go by cycle lengths because we can't really measure heart rate. It's just...
You go by what, was it?
Cycle length. The
cycle length.
Interval. The intervals between these things. You can't really... Once you get the nitty-gritty things, you can't really measure 0.5 heart rate, 0.62 heart rate. It gets to be messy. So you convert it to a different number, which is the same thing. It's just... okay, so because sometimes you have to measure, like, this is going to be, you know, 10 milliseconds or 40 milliseconds, the VA time. So in terms of timing, you need to convert it to a different number, and that's the milliseconds that it takes to go from point A to point B. Otherwise, you'd have to do 0.01 heart rate or 0.06, and it just not be possible because everybody's heart rates is going to vary. It's not always going to be at 60, so it's much easier to a different number. So get used to that number instead of, you know, they're going to shoot out, you know, 20 milliseconds, which is, you know, whatever, 0.66 of whatever heart rate the patient's at. So anyway, so this is now the patient in tachycardia. You just make sure that it's coming through. I don't feel like scrubbing now. Space thief?
You have
there's
to
no
press this.
Tech. There's no, no.
Wait. I think you press this.
I think there's a intercom.
Yeah, more about
it.
Okay, anyone think it was saying about decrement?
Yeah,
that
no
word
idea.
In battle? I don't know what that word is.
What do you guys think that is?
Well, it looks like what the AV node, it's like the harder you hit it, the less it'll respond.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's
right.
Why you'll get an increase in time between like the atrial to the ventricular contraction. Because it's not... Sorry.
So, let's track my OMO points for later.
I know, I knew that's what you were doing.
That's true, we haven't done it in a while.
So, you guys don't do that, right?
We can if we work with the DO who teaches us how to do it, we can.
Yeah.
Right, that'll be the key. Part of the sign out. So, okay, so now the patient's in tachycardia. So we've proven that there's concentric activation retrograde, there's concentric activation antegrade, there's a jump, there's the induction of tachycardia. So all those things point to AV node reentry as being the culprit. Now the patient's in tachycardia. Now we still have to prove, because there are a lot of pathways that can trick you into believing that something is AV node reentry and it's not. So now we have to prove that this is actually AV node reentry tachycardia. So we're going to give stimuli while the His bundle is activated. So while it's refractory, I'm going to give a ventricular premature beat. And again, this is a little complicated, maybe more than you need to know, but we're going to give ventricular stimuli during His bundle activation and see if we can bring the atrium to be activated closer. So that's, you know, this is usually for EP fellows and not for, you know, third-year medical students or PA students. But what would that mean? That would mean that if the His bundle is refractory and you're getting earlier atrial activation, that means that there must be a different pathway because the AV node is not accepting stimuli at that point. So if I can activate the atrium early, that means that there's a Kent bundle somewhere. In a normal, you know, if this is AV node reentry, I'll activate the ventricle when the His bundle is refractory and the atrium is not going to respond. It's just going to be on, it's going to still be on time. It doesn't care what I'm doing because it's not accepting stimuli.
Even if you have a fast slow within the AV node,
yeah,
it still won't go.
Right, because
okay.
Both the fast and slow pathways are being activated. So they're busy. They can't respond to anything. So the only way that something else can get to the atrium is because there's another pathway.
You're saying the initial impulse, you're stimulating the ventricles?
I'm still stimulating the ventricle from somewhere else.
Okay.
Right? This guy's busy. He's, you know, he's doing his slow, fast, both are activated. They're shooting off electric pulses. So they're not interested in anything that I do in the ventricle, far, far away. So if the ventricle far, far away is able to do something to the atrium, it means that there's somebody else that's able to bring up the, you know, electrical impulse.
So now you've ruled out AVNRT.
So if there's early activation, if there's what's called atrial advancement during His bundle refractoriness, means that there's another pathway. Usually doubling to
doubling. Usually it's a bundle can.
The other things, but so I do that, the atrium is still on time, means that, okay, now I know that it's slow, fast. So now I'm going to try to treat this. That's the point of this whole exercise, is, you know, having her get rid of this so she no longer has to go to the emergency room and get adenosine.
He's on his way. He sent me a picture. He's stuck in traffic.
Oh, okay. Thanks.
Evident.
So as long as it gets you before he scrubs, it can teach you guys. okay, so now we have you know, determine that it's definitely the slow pathway that's causing the problem, and now we want to get rid of the slow pathway. So where does the slow pathway sit?
Somewhere along the triangle of the coach.
Right, which is where? Let's say now this is the tricuspid valve, mitral valve. Where do you want me to go? This is the coronary sinus along the posterior aspect of the mitral valve.
If I remember
correctly, so the triangle involves the coronary sinus, the annulus of the tricuspid valve, and the tendon of Tidaro?
Yeah, so where would that be? So
on,
where do you want me to go?
On this diagram here.
Where's the tendon of Tidaro?
So this is the tricuspid valve right here, saying?
Mm-hmm.
Coronary sinus, yes. And then would it be coming like this?
Well, what is it? What is the tendon of the arm? So if I put a catheter in the His bundle, where would you want me to go? I don't understand the anatomy. Just tell me where to go. So I'm in the His bundle area, which sits in the superior portion of the tricuspid valve as you enter the right ventricle. Right. So basically what you're gonna see, you know, here is that I'm gonna go to the His bundle, document that I'm at the His, and then I'm gonna drop my catheter down to the area of the CS, and then I'm gonna go just anterior to the coronary sinus ostium. It's just, you know, that's what you're gonna see radiographically and by 3D imaging. So you know about the whole 3D thing, they talked to you about it. We're, you know, basically displaying something on another kind of imaging system so that we don't have to keep hitting the fluoro button, basically. So we'll limit our radiation.
So, on that bottom image you drew, would the tendon be coming
Electric. Fluoroscopically, you're going to see me going to the right ventricle. So if our right ventricle is either or tricuspid and mitral valve. So I'm going to come in from here. I'm going to go across the tricuspid valve, right? Across the tricuspid valve, like that. And then I'm going to go up to the His, like that. And then I'm going to go down to the coronary sinus, which is here. And then I'm going to flip up just a little bit, so that an anterior CS os, more than likely, that's where the slow pathway is. It doesn't have to be there. It could be, you know, in other areas also. I'm going to look for a balanced A and B signal, and I'm going to try to be a little bit more in the ventricle so I don't hit the His bundle by accident or the AV node. There's always the chance of hitting the AV node and causing complete heart block, and then this young lady needs a pacemaker for the rest of her life, which is not what we want, obviously. So, pretty much, those are the issues. We're going to map around, create a 3D image in a non-fluoroscopic, you know, mode, just like having GPS. So I'm going to shut off, you know, my eyes and just look at monitors, which would be cool, right? If you can have all the maps of LA and you just drive looking at your little monitor in 3D. So that's basically what we do. We look at, you know, hopefully, once we, you know, map out everything in the CARDO system, we'll not use fluoro as much. I still like the C-fluoro, just in case one of the catheters moved and I didn't see it or something, but that's just me. There are a lot of people who don't use fluoro at all. In young kids, I tend not to touch the fluoro button. So I'll just go in and try to map everything without even hitting the fluoro button unless I really, really need to. She's not that, you know, young. We have radiation protection on her. I don't think, like, 2 grads is going to make a difference, but, you know.
So, as compared to the one that we saw last week with AFib, she does not have AFib. Is that what we're saying? And
no,
so
this
we're
is
not
different.
Pulmonary
yeah.
AFib.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody ready to
Two more students.
Okay. You're building a non-goated bar in here, so we're going to expand it here and have a seating.
Yes, I did somewhere. I made this into a theater.
How's it going?
They're undergraduate, trying to be in your shoes.
Okay.
Oh, wow. There's so many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wow, this must be a popular course. Well, what are we going to talk about today?
SVT.
Oh, that's my favorite. The only thing that we can really fix in I think I met some of you.